everyone. Welcome back to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, here with my brilliant co-host, Core. How's it going, Cole?
Doing great, Jack. Ready to dive into the chaos of the tech world as always. So, what's on our plate today?
We've got a fantastic lineup today, folks. We'll be discussing AI's ever-growing influence in medicine, the latest trends in Web 3.0, plus some juicy details on the biggest tech acquisitions this month.
And let's not forget the political rumblings affecting our favorite Silicon Valley giants. Buckle up, everyone. It's going to be a wild ride.
Absolutely, Core. Let's kick things off with the incredible strides AI's making in healthcare. I heard there's a new tool that's predicting diseases even before symptoms appear. Is it just me, or is this starting to sound more like Black Mirror every day?
Seriously, Jack. Although instead of eerie dystopia, I prefer to think we're living in a sci-fi utopia with a few bugs to iron out.
Haha, true. And we also have some crazy developments in Web 3.0 that are shaking up the financial markets. Crypto's not just for buying pizza anymore, folks.
Speaking of pizza, did you hear about that crypto billionaire who bought a pizza chain? Crazy times. We'll get into those details later, but first, back to our AI health wizardry.
Oh, definitely. And as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts, dear listeners. So drop us a comment or tweet at us during the show. Ready to get unchained, C-O-R-R?
Ready as ever, partner. Let's delve into the wonders and woes of our tech-infused world. Stay with us, folks. You won't want to miss this.
All right, here we go. So, Core, what do you think is the biggest game changer in AI right now? So, Core, let's dive into Privacy Pass. It's fascinating how cryptography allows a client to authenticate to a server without using blockchains. But when we mention tokens, listeners might immediately think of crypto and blockchains, right?
Absolutely, Jack. The public's knee-jerk reaction is to link tokens with blockchain due to their popularity. However, Privacy Pass is a bit different. While it does generate tokens, they're not stored or traded on a blockchain. Instead, it relies on elliptic curves and hash functions as part of a verifiable oblivious pseudo-random function. It's quite the mouthful, but boil it down, it means using advanced math to keep things secure and private.
Exactly. And it's crucial to note that Privacy Pass was designed to work seamlessly without blockchain's baggage of decentralized consensus and massive energy consumption. It's more about cryptographic methods, ensuring that your interactions online remain private. Given the political climate and accusations that AI assistants might censor viewpoints, this kind of technology feels particularly timely.
Agreed. Regarding political pressure, it's pretty telling that companies feel compelled to adapt their technologies. For instance, the removal of warnings in ChatGPT could very well be a reaction to accusations of bias. President Trump's allies, like Elon Musk and David Sachs, have been vocal about AI censorship. Musk's influence in particular really drives home the intertwining of politics and tech.
Yeah, Musk really has a knack for shaking things up, whether it's space travel, electric cars, or now AI and censorship. Speaking of shaking up, did you hear about the layoffs OpenAI implemented? 20% of their workforce gone as they face struggles in the Ethereum market. What a roller coaster.
It's a clear signal of the volatile nature of tech markets. OpenAI's layoffs juxtapose sharply with their rapid advancements. It's almost like they're sprinting towards innovation, but tripping over financial constraints. Ethereum's market downturn has clearly had ripple effects beyond just that ecosystem.
It's rough. But let's pivot to something more exciting, the HPE ProLiant Compute Gen 12 portfolio. They've set a new bar for enterprise security with built-in safeguards at every layer, from the chip to the cloud. And to top it off, they've introduced the HPE Integrated Lights Out ILO 7 with a secure enclave, which is engineered from the ground up.
The secure enclave really piques my interest. It's fascinating how it's designed to be quantum computing resistant. With quantum computing looming on the horizon, having this level of security is like building a fort for your digital data. And meeting FIPS 140 to 3 level 3 certification is no small feat. It's like getting a gold medal in data security.
It's all about staying ahead of future threats. We're in an age where cyber threats evolve faster than ever. Quantum computing would revolutionize cryptography, but it also means the locks we use today could be picked too easily tomorrow. Prepping for quantum threats now is just smart business.
Definitely. It aligns with the overall trend of precautionary principles in tech. Think of it like preventive maintenance, but for data security. This mindset shift is crucial for long-term sustainability in cybersecurity. By the way, did you catch the implications of such tech developments on initiatives like Privacy Pass?
Absolutely. Tech like Privacy Pass paired with advancements like HPE's Secure Enclave could create a digital space that's highly secure yet extremely user-friendly. Masking authentication methods with these high-level cryptographic safeguards could make user data virtually impenetrable without weighing down system performance.
Spot on. It's a balancing act, securing user data while keeping the user experience smooth. The advancements in enterprise technology and personalized tech protocols like Privacy Pass work in harmony. But how will AI come into play with these enhancements?
That's a great question. AI has the potential to revolutionize how these systems operate, making authentication faster and more adaptive. Imagine an AI that continually learns the best cryptographic algorithms to use based on threat levels, much like how an immune system adapts to new viruses.
The future seems bright, yet complex. With the tech landscape constantly evolving, businesses need to stay vigilant and adaptive. Balancing security, user experience, and political considerations is the new norm.
So, Core, diving back into our ongoing chat, let's talk about the Privacy Pass papers from Davidson, Iyengar, Wood et al. This effort to bypass internet challenges like CAPTCHAs while maintaining anonymity is super interesting, right?
Absolutely, Jack. For those not familiar, Privacy Pass essentially lets you navigate sites that typically require CAPTCHAs without having to prove you're human every time. It cloaks your steps but keeps your data private, boosting user experience without compromising security. It's like having a VIP pass that gets you through all the annoying checks at the club entrance.
I swear, I wish I had that every time I have to click on I'm not a robot 5 times a day. Those image recognition CAPTCHAs make me question my eyesight.
No kidding. But it's more than just convenience. It aims to protect your data from getting into the wrong hands. Traditional CAPTCHAs, while useful, often share user data with third-party providers, which is a privacy nightmare.
Speaking of data privacy, it brings us to the MAPTCHA concept they introduced. It's a CAPTCHA that leverages AI for mapping efforts in OpenStreetMap, OSM. People help validate AI-predicted maps through a CAPTCHA system. It's like crowdsourced verification, but with a twist.
Right. It's a clever way to improve AI performance and data quality for OSM without making people feel like they're doing free labor for no reason. Pretty innovative if you think about it. Not only are people proving they're human, but they're also helping refine map data.
Here's an interesting angle, though. Using AI to classify images before human validation, this fair mapping system they've got going. Do you think we've reached a point where AI can genuinely contribute to such tasks on par with humans?
Good question. AI is getting there, but it's still learning. It needs human backup to reach that quality threshold. Think of it as a teenager learning to drive. They're pretty good, but you still want an adult in the passenger seat. We've had some laughs at AI's expense, like the sea lion identified as a ball of fur, remember?
Ah, the infamous fur ball mistake. That shows that while AI is powerful, it's not foolproof. Human oversight is essential. And speaking of critical roles, let's not forget about the real-world applications of upgrading OSM data. For instance, humanitarian efforts rely on accurate maps for disaster response.
Absolutely, Jack. Maps can save lives in emergencies. If AI helps speed up and improve the accuracy, all the better. Plus, integrating Privacy Pass protocols here maintains user anonymity while contributing to such vital tasks without compromising privacy.
That's a win-win. Anonymity upheld, user experience enhanced, and vital mapping data steadily improving. It's pretty neat seeing technology solving these multifaceted issues.
True. It's a reminder of how thoughtfully applied technology can improve systems we interact with daily. Keeps me hopeful about AI's role in the future.
Agreed, Core. And if tackling CAPTCHAs means I get to do less find all the bicycles puzzles and more meaningful interactions online, I'm all in.
Same here, Jack. Makes the occasional furball mishap all the more tolerable.
Let's keep an eye on where this tech heads next. There's always more layers to peel back.
Definitely. And speaking of layers, have you looked into how this might influence automated bots and spam prevention?
Oh, that's another rabbit hole we should jump into. So, Core, we were discussing the definition of research and how it applies specifically to different scenarios, particularly in the context of education and clinical trials. It's interesting how nuanced it can be. Take, for example, a teacher trying to investigate cognitive biases like anchoring by conducting a class experiment. If she's just demonstrating a concept to her students without any intention of contributing to general knowledge, this wouldn't be classified as research. But if she's aiming to uncover new findings about cognitive biases, that's when it crosses into research territory.
Right, Jack. And that gray area can be a bit tricky. I mean, the intention behind the action, whether it's educational or investigatory, can blur the lines. You also touched on how convoluted the term human subject can become, especially when data gathering by others or using biological samples is involved. Navigating these definitions is quite the maze.
Absolutely. And it doesn't get any easier when we bring in the FDA and its regulations. The term clinical investigation specifically includes any activity involving human subjects and a test article, which often means drugs. So if your research involves any drug, it gets even more regulated. And as we mentioned earlier, the term drug is defined very broadly. It's not just limited to what we colloquially think of as medicine. So even something like testing the effects of a new food item could come under this umbrella.
And that's where things can get particularly sticky. You've got all these layers of regulations where the exemptions are incredibly narrow. Essentially, if you're working with anything that could be categorized under these broad definitions of drug or clinical investigation, you're going to need IRB approval and possibly even an IND application. It seems almost every avenue is tightly controlled unless you're working on something that the FDA has already pre-approved in a very specific context.
Exactly. Let's not forget the importance of intent and design in research. It's not just about running an experiment, but also about what you aim to do with the results. If you wish to contribute to generalized knowledge, your study is firmly in the research camp. But if you're just trying to satisfy your curiosity within a confined educational scenario, it's not research.
So, what's the takeaway here for our listeners who might be dabbling in this space? If you're thinking of conducting any form of investigation, be it in education, clinical trials, or even new food products, you need to be acutely aware of these definitions and regulations and always, always get the right approvals. This can save you a lot of headaches later on.
Absolutely, Cor. And on a lighter note, isn't it funny how all this legalese makes it sound like we're trying to navigate through a spy novel? Systematic investigation designed to develop or contribute to generalizable knowledge. It's like we're all secret agents of science trying to decode the regulatory enigma machine.
Oh, I love that analogy. Imagine a teacher slipping into her classroom with a hidden plan, hoping to covertly uncover the truth about cognitive biases under the ever-watchful eyes of the regulatory authorities. Makes her sound like a superhero of education.
Ah, exactly. And speaking of superheroes moving towards another potentially explosive area, let's talk about Web3 and NFTs. I wonder if we could use the same level of nuanced regulation there. It's like the Wild West out there.
Oh boy, that's not something for the faint-hearted. But hey, maybe sticking to the rules in our research might be easier than trying to tame the world of decentralized finance and NFTs. What do you think?
For sure. And speaking of which, engaging with these new technologies also brings its own set of challenges and opportunities, especially when it comes to community engagement and rewards. We've got a lot more to uncover, so stay tuned, folks. We're just getting started.
Can't wait to dive into it. Just imagine the intersection of innovation and regulation. It's like the most exciting roller coaster you'll ever ride.
So, continuing our discussion on privacy-enhancing technologies as a CORR, I'm really curious about your thoughts on the tension between the government's interest in commerce regulation and the push for stronger privacy tools. I mean, we're seeing so many new tools come into play, but the government's stance often seems to get in the way, right?
Absolutely, Jack. The crux of the issue is that privacy tools are becoming more sophisticated, and there's growing public demand for these technologies. Yet the government keeps finding ways to circumnavigate these protections under the guise of commerce regulation. It's like, how far can you stretch the definition of commerce? It's almost Orwellian.
Exactly. The example of the 1984 law, where states were forced to raise the drinking age to 21 to keep federal highway funding, it's a prime example of the government leveraging financial pressure to enforce its will. It's like dangling a carrot. States need funding, but are coerced into policies that may conflict with what their constituents want.
Right. And, you know, applying that to our discussion on privacy tech, it's a bit terrifying. The government could, in theory, use similar tactics to undermine privacy standards. You want funding for this? Then relax on your privacy measures. It's a tricky balance.
Speaking of tricky balances, it reminds me of Monzo's approach with their stand-in platform. They've got this backup system running independently on Google Cloud, while their primary one is on AWS. It's like they're saying, we're not putting all our eggs in one basket. How do you see this philosophy translating to privacy tech?
Oh, I think it's a great analogy. Just as Monzo ensures redundancy to maintain service during an outage, privacy-enhancing tech should have multi-layered defenses. If one layer fails, another can pick up the slack, ensuring continuous privacy protection. Multiple platforms, multiple points of defense.
Exactly. And oddly, when you look at something like FDA regulations, which derive their authority from regulating commerce, it makes you wonder if similar robust structures could be leveraged for privacy standards instead of evading them. Think about it. If there were clearer guidelines and a stronger emphasis on supporting privacy, we could scale these technologies much faster.
Totally. And Jack, let's not forget the consumer angle here. People are becoming more privacy conscious, so companies that adopt leading-edge privacy measures are also signaling care to their customers. This creates a market where privacy isn't just a value add-on, but a core requirement.
Very true. It's like with Monzo. You're not just getting a banking service, you're assured near constant access to your money no matter what happens. Likewise, with privacy, consumers want that peace of mind that their data won't be compromised. This drives innovation, and if companies see there's demand, they'll invest more in developing these technologies.
And not to mention, more scrutiny means better developments. If researchers know there's an active demand for privacy tech, they'll likely invest more energy into ensuring these tools are robust. It's an ongoing cycle of demand driving better products and better products driving more demand.
Yes. And yet, the challenge remains with governmental pressure. Think about the monopoly on certain tech standards and the constant tug of war of maintaining privacy without falling foul of regulatory overreach. If only there was a way to ensure these privacy standards were federally supported rather than scrutinized.
Ideally, we'd have a framework where privacy doesn't come at the expense of regulation, but rather a synergy between the two. Governments acknowledging the public's demand for privacy might ideally create standards that safeguard personal data while enabling compliance.
It's definitely a tough nut to crack. But as we see more stories like Monzo's innovative standby infrastructure and with consumer demand pushing boundaries, I believe we're heading towards a more privacy-conscious digital world despite the hurdles.
Couldn't agree more, Jack. The evolution in tech, driven by both necessity and consumer demand, will hopefully nudge the government toward more supportive measures and authentic regulatory frameworks that don't feel so intrusive.
Here's hoping. All right, up next, we delve into another pressing issue. How about those new digital service regulations and their impact on tech companies? Let's keep the ball rolling, Core. Well, that was an exciting episode. We covered a lot of ground today, didn't we?
Absolutely, Jack. We dove into the latest advancements in AI, discussed the ever-changing landscape of the tech industry, and even got into some spirited debates about recent political shifts influencing business strategies.
Oh, and let's not forget that heated discussion about the future of autonomous vehicles. I swear, CORR, you always manage to get everyone on the edge of their seats with your takes.
Hey, what can I say? Autonomous vehicles are a hot topic. But seriously, I think we offered some valuable insights and hopefully provided our listeners with food for thought.
Agreed. It's always a pleasure when we can mix a bit of humor with serious discussions. After all, who says you can't have fun while talking about the future of technology and business?
Exactly. Remember when we cracked that joke about AI taking over our coffee machines? Classic.
Yes, that was a good one. Okay, folks, that brings us to the end of this episode.
Thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some new insights into the rapidly evolving world of technology.
Be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and let us know what topics you'd like us to tackle next.
Until then, stay curious and keep questioning the status quo.
See you next time.
See you.